Brothers and sisters, in the last session, we discussed how God's thoughts differ from men's. Job's thoughts were significantly different from God's. God was refining Job to give him blessings, but now realizing the love, Job had piled up ill feelings and resented God. God, who knows all things, allows a trial that suits each person to give them the best of things at the most proper time. Some ways seem to be ways of blessings in men's thoughts, but they may not be. They may not be in God's sight. Other ways seem to be ways of suffering from man's perspective, but God may call them the shortcut to receiving great blessings. Thus, those who have true trust in God don't insist on their thoughts, but entrust things to God's will. And they never waver under any circumstances. To such people, hardships are a blessing in disguise and also a reason for thanksgiving. As we find in Psalm chapter 119, verse 71, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." In the face of a trouble, we can discover ourselves and change into men of truth all the more. Therefore, I pray in our Lord's name that you deeply realize the great love of God who leads us to become truly righteous men through trials, thereby overflowing with fruits of change and testimonies of blessings in your life. Actually, when trials come by God's providence, it is a blessing. But if you bring upon trials upon yourself, you cannot say it is a God's blessing. Because you committed sin, you committed wrongdoing, you face your trouble, and you get stricken with a disease. You cannot say that God gave you trials. You have to remember that. In the passage, Job wretchedly described his afflictions, as we find in chapter 30, verses 27 and 28. "I'm seething within and cannot relax. Days of affliction confront me. I go about mourning without comfort. I stand up in the assembly and cry out for help." Because Job was in tribulations, he was agitated and confused. Him going about mourning without comfort means he had no one who looked after him. Job also mentioned that he stood up in the assembly and cried out for help. Here, the assembly refers to the meeting or gathering of people. As he found himself in such a miserable state where he stood before the public and begged for help, how distressed he must have felt. Moreover, Job used to be loved and served by many and enjoy wealth, fame, and honor. Because Job was particularly outstanding in wisdom and knowledge, that even nobles became silent before him to pay attention to his words. Even though he used to win many people's trust and respect, he was now in a position where he gave pathetic excuses and cried out for recognition. But what came as a result were not comfort and love, but rather criticisms and mockery. Can you imagine how anguished Job must have been? If you listen to this message, putting yourselves in Job's shoes, you can figure out his heart well and have even more awakening. You shouldn't just think it's Job's story, but you remember the time you were in the lowest position where people just disregarded you. You have to put yourself in Job's shoes and listen to this message. You remember how distressed you were, and you used to complain, and whomever you met, you just you complained, and you have to put yourself in his shoes. I'm not saying Job was right, But you have to sympathize with Job, and you have to empathize with him. Then you can discover the Job's evil and your evil. But what we have to note here is that it's not right to depend on man just because we find our situation distressful and painful. God promised that He would give to those who ask, allow those who seek to find, and open the door for those who knock. For this reason, we who have faith ought to receive answers and resolution of problems by asking God only. As Job sought help from people, what a miserable man he became, being accused and criticized. That's why God told us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And we find in Psalm chapter 118, verses 9 and 8 and 9, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. In all affairs, we are not to rely on others or our own wisdom and ways, but only ask God by faith and ably carry out our tasks amidst God's grace. You may say, I don't rely on man. I don't trust in man. But you also should not trust in yourself. So you don't rely on others, but you shouldn't rely on others. We say rely on yourself. And this, you have to trust in the Lord and rely on the Lord and get the solution from Him. You shouldn't say, God does not answer me. In the Bible, we find reasons why God does not answer someone. You have to discover yourself diligently, and whatever you ask, may you receive answers, and you also can resolve other people's problems for people around you. God is delighted with His children. God is delighted with His children who rely on Him by faith and answer them in magnificent ways by giving them the early and later lanes at the proper times. As we experience God's grace once and twice, our faith grows bigger and bigger, and we turn into Christians who rely on the Almighty God in everything and receive His answers. I hope you realize this principle. If you rely on man, if you rely on yourself, or if you just, you should not live in distress, but you have to ask God and receive His answers. And even though you have no solution, you have to humbly go before God and then let down yourself and humbly ask Him, Father God answers you. When you have that experience, it feels like you got everything in the world and you have no concerns and you have such strong trust relationship with God. How peaceful and happy you would be. I hope that you realize well this principle, spiritual principle. When you in the face of problem, if you cannot receive an answer, you can invite your pastor and seek their counseling and solve your problems. But if you don't make efforts, but if you just receive prayer, that doesn't mean your problems will be answered. You yourself have to hang on to God. You have to hang on to Him. But you may not know the way. Then you can ask your pastor to give your solution. And if you receive the word, you have to say amen and hold on to it in prayer. Then you have to solve your problems with the Holy Spirit. But if you don't solve your problems, if you just seek others' help, like pastor's help, then you cannot grow yourself. So, we may ask others to pray for us. It is a wise way. But you, yourself have to build a strong relationship with Him. You have to knock on the door and receive His answer. You have to form such a father and child relationship with God. But Job didn't do that. But he just relied on man, and people didn't listen to him, and Job was distressed and painful, and he was explaining how painful he was. In the following verse, Job described himself in a quite interesting way. We read in chapter 30, verse 29, I have become a brother to jackals and a companion of ostriches. He referred to himself as a brother to jackals. What kind of animal are jackals? Wolves are fierce and cruel. They look here and there in search for prey and steal and snatch them away. They have such craftiness. So in the Bible, false prophets, people who opposed God, and those who persecuted and rejected the apostles are likened to wolves. For example, as Jesus sent out His 70 disciples, He stated, Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Also, Apostle Paul compared the false prophets and deceived his flock to wolves, saying in Acts 20:29, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. But in the passage, Job likened his friends to such animals, calling himself a brother to jackals. Even though Job complained about his tough situations, his friends didn't comfort him, but rather criticized and mocked him. Thus, with his heart disturbed, Job compared his friends to such a wicked animal among all animals. Is he evil or good? He's evil. Such attributes, you have to also examine whether you have such attributes in a relationship with your spouse or your family members, whether you use bad words, whether you use some your expressions. You may have such evil, hurtful expressions and words. Job lamented over his situation, and then he called his friends, comparing themselves to some wicked animal. Job also mentioned that he was a companion of ostriches. In the Bible, the ostrich is categorized with a closer look. They look scary. Can you imagine what kind of a situation Job was in, calling himself a companion of ostriches? Job figuratively spoke of a situation in which he was lonely, having been forsaken by all people. Job lamented that he'd become like a brother to jackals and a companion of ostriches. Namely, he'd ended up worthless like animals. He went on to say in chapter 30, verses 30 and 31, My skin turns black on me, and my bones burn with fever. Therefore, my harp is turned to mourning, and my flute to the sound of those who weep. Job explained that his skin turned black, the scabs fell off, and his bones badly hurt. He also likened his despair and grief to the sounds of musical instruments. His skin burst, and then scabs formed over his skin. And when things like happen, your skin turns black. And Job was in that situation. Job was explaining how painful, what kind of pain he was going through. He also likened his despair and grief to the sounds of musical instruments. People often express their joy, anger, or sorrow by singing or playing instruments. Those who are joyful and happy sing happy songs and play cheerful notes. Contrarily, people with grief sing sad songs or play melancholy notes to soothe their sadness. Before Job faced his tribulations, sounds of flute and harp were a source of his joy. But now, as he was in despair, the sounds of flute turned into weeping and those of harp into mourning. Job was miserable and grieved to the point where flutes and harps sounded like people crying in lament. Brothers and sisters, what lessons can we learn from here? If you have perfect faith, what deeds should you display in such desperate moments? You should look to the Almighty God and joyfully sing praises and pray to Him. Even when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den and his three friends were cast into the blazing furnace, they didn't despair at all. Rather, they gave thanks to God and experienced an astonishing miracle by which not even a single hair on their heads were singed. As we can see, if we act according to God's will, no matter the circumstance, God who knows everything can work for us the right way, provide a way of escape, and make things work together for good. Staying joyful and thankful and praying in obedience to the Word is the solution to all kinds of problems. You are studying the book of Job, and we are looking each sentence, and we are trying to understand Job's situation and compare it to ours and what Job did wrong, what Job did good, and we are explaining about truth and untruth. Job was lamenting about his situation, and we think about, as for me, I don't use public transportation, but many years ago, I took some train or KTX train, and then I also had a time to listen to some praise songs. But sometimes I look at people, then what went through my mind was, among many people, it was during rush hour, some people fall asleep and others look at their smartphones. And I thought to myself, how blessed I am. I'm listening to the words of God and listen to the praise songs. How happy I am. And joy springs up from within with these thoughts. And when I was, how many of them would know God? That's why I have to share the gospel earnestly. It's up to you. What kind of thoughts you have, it's up to you. Whether you have spiritual thoughts, whether you have just fleshly thoughts, the choice is up to you. And the result is very different. Among these people, I am the saved one. Among these people, I am the citizen of heaven. Among these people, I am the beloved one of God. And you have smiles on your faces. On the subway, you see the faces of people. Their faces have no joy, especially during the rush hours. They look tired, exhausted. But you can have smiles on your faces. Whatever happens to you, you can think about what would man of spirit do? If we live such a life, we can be guided by the Holy Spirit and receive His inspiration and guidance. You have to live so, but how did Job live? But since Job didn't have a perfect understanding of the Almighty God or the God of love, he couldn't overcome the grief of the reality and continue to despair. So far, we've gone over chapter 30 in which Job complained of the tribulations and afflictions facing him. From chapter 31, Job explained in detail what a righteous and pure life he had been living. Actually, Job led an up. Actually, Job led an upright life to the point where God even complimented him. There is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Now let us delve into the confessions of Job, which clearly demonstrate why God complimented him this way. Job argued that he led a righteous life. He was actually bragging himself, but actually it was also truth. God complimented him, and he was praiseworthy. In a way, of course, as you listen to this message, I challenge you to compare yourselves to Job and discover and fix your shortcomings as you listen to this message. God, Job was praiseworthy, but even so, he, as he went through trials, his evil was revealed. But what about us? What about me? Even Job, and I look at myself in light of Job, I have a lot of shortcomings. Then, if I go through trials like Job, how much evil will be revealed from me? You have to apply this story to you this way. You may think you wouldn't have much evil like Job. You shouldn't think that way. Because Job, as we look at Job's life, he led such an upright life. He had such an honest life. Even so, he had such deep evil in the depth of his heart. You have to discover your shortcomings that way. And once you discover them, you have to change yourselves. Job said in chapter 31, verse 1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? In saying so, Job revealed his belief. Some people make a vow on their conscience, others on the fame of their ancestors and family, and still others on their reputation. Following their own value systems and beliefs, they choose a way in which they think is the most reliable. To Job, his eyes was one of the most reliable. So he affirmed that he would vow with his eyes not to gaze at a virgin. What did he mean by that? Job was a person who didn't fall short in anything like money, fame, power, health, wisdom, knowledge, and etc. But that doesn't mean that Job enjoyed a luxurious lifestyle as those with riches or power did. History testifies that people with power took pleasure in performing arts, music, dance, etc. Such activities often involved alcohol and women. Job refrained from taking pleasure in such secular entertainments because he considered them not appropriate in God's sight. This also reflects his resolve not to commit adultery. What a pure and innocent heart he had. Since Job had no desire to commit adultery, he himself made a covenant that he wouldn't gaze at a virgin. Our eyes go where our mind tells them to go, and what we see with our eyes is put into our heart through thoughts. As people see what is desirable, greed is provoked. By seeing what they shouldn't see, they commit adultery. Especially nowadays, people can easily indulge themselves in adultery through numerous videos or magazines. So God's children have to take extra caution against them. It's not just if we have such a desire in our heart. It is a lust and it is a sin, the Bible says. What about today? Nowadays, we have a lot of adult materials going around. People watch those materials and people say that they continue to taint their heart with adultery. By doing so, they cannot never throw away adultery. But as God's children, you have to remove even such lustful desires. What we see and hear and what we speak, worldly people say a lot of dirty things. What happened as a result of King David seeing Uriah's wife bathing? His lust of the eyes was provoked as he didn't cut it off, but accepted it. His lust of the flesh was stirred up, and he felt like taking the woman. He ended up committing a deed of flesh by sleeping with her. He also committed a grave sin of killing her husband, Uriah, by putting him in the front line of the battle. Many trials follow as a result. As we can see, men are prone to commit sins by what they see. This is why Jesus told us in Matthew in chapter 18, verse 9, "If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be cast into the fiery hell." He also said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So, when you watch obscene material, you're committing adultery, and you have a burning desire to commit adultery. The reason is, harboring lust and committing adultery essentially shares the same root. But Job made a firm covenant that he wouldn't gaze at a virgin, which indicates how pure his heart was. Also, Job was a kind of person who made sure to keep what he promised himself. As for many people, their resolutions last no longer than 3 days. For example, people know that smoking and drinking give them no benefit, but only bring them harm. But even if they resolve to quit them, they fail because they can't keep their resolve. Even among Christians are those who promise themselves, "I will pray every day, I will read at least one chapter of the Bible each day, I won't get angry from now on." But many times, they fail to keep even the promises made to themselves. Some people say that, that woman was a woman of spirit, but now she lives as he pleases. I also live like that. Why should they say that way? Why should they mention about that? Why do they say that? Because they also follow her example. There's no need to have interest in them. There's no need to mention that. They are far from Job. Once Job promised himself, he didn't waver. But what about you? When things were happy, and some people put the blame on others, and you have to. But some people complain, and then they are far from Job. And that means they have a lot of evil in the depth of their heart. Only then, the reason is, Job was a kind of person who made sure to keep what he promised himself. As for many people, their resolutions last no longer than 3 days. For example, But Job made sure to keep the covenant with himself, which he was not gazing at a virgin. We are to keep the promises we made to ourselves as well as to others. Whatever people say to you, you just keep going. Moreover, what we have vowed before God must be kept at all cost. If we carelessly make a vow and have a change of heart, disregarding God, we will create a wall of sins before God and suffer tests and tribulations by Satan's accusations. Therefore, in the Bible are many words that warn us regarding making vows. God told us in Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, "If a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." And in Psalm chapter 15, verse 4, "In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but he who honors those who fear the Lord, he swears to his own heart and does not change." We also read in another verse, "Do not let your speech cause you to sin, and do not say in the presence of the messenger of God that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry on account of your voice and destroy the work of your hands?" There is no question that if we keep our vows made to God, we can experience His extraordinary favor. Even so, we are to keep in mind that it'd be better for us not to make a vow in the first place than to carelessly vow before God and have a change of heart. But let's say you broke up your vows. What should you do? You have no way to turn it back. Then you have to lead a more earnest Christian life. You have to be more faithful, more zealous. Let's say you've broken your vows. Father God, I'm sorry. I disregarded you because it was a promise made to God. It was a promise to God, but you broke it because you committed a falsehood. You have to repent with an apologetic heart. Then you have to look for things that please God, and you have to recover, and you have to do that. When I speak about such vows, some people are hurt. You should not make vows carelessly. You have to look back on yourself. Some people have felt they've broken their vows, then they should repent with an apologetic heart and regretful heart, and they have to look for ways to be faithful to God. And moreover, they have to circumcise their heart and have to change yourself. Then Father God would bless you, forgive you. In the following verse, chapter 30, verse 2, Job said, like, if I gazed at a virgin, what is the portion of God from above, or the heritage of the Almighty from on high? A portion is a certain part of something that you set apart from the whole thing. The abundant fruit that you bear based upon the portion allotted to you is the future inheritance. Job asserted that if he didn't keep the covenant with himself, there wouldn't be any portion allotted by God. He was saying, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I wouldn't gaze at a virgin. If I violate this covenant myself, what could I expect from God? From this remark alone, we find what an honest heart Job possessed. Brothers and sisters, now I urge you to examine your own heart. Have any of you failed to keep what you promised yourselves or even what you vowed before God, but still expect to receive His answers? God tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for it would be sin in you, and the Lord your God will surely require it of you. Therefore, if you fail the will of sin by violating your promises to God, you have to know that even if you ask before Him, you'd receive no answer. You should first repent and turn from your ways and break down the wall of sins. Only then can you receive His answers by asking. From the days of old, those who acknowledged God in the afterlife paid heed to the voice of their spirits coming from their good conscience and didn't commit evil. But in contrast, people with an evil heart often ignore the voice of their spirits. Even though Job hadn't experienced God himself, he feared God and tried to keep his good conscience as much as he could. Since people's conscience have become numb nowadays, people have conscience as seared as with a hot iron. Even among Christians are people like that. But Job kept his conscience and kept by the law of God. Moreover, we have received the Holy Spirit. We are to heed the voice of the Holy Spirit coming from within and always guard our heart and these in the truth. John went on to say in chapter 31, verse 3, is it not calamity to the unjust and disaster to those who work iniquity? This question bears Job's belief. This question bears Job's belief that if men commit wrongdoings, they have to suffer the consequences. It also demonstrates Job's honesty, Job's integrity. Even if he happened to commit a fault, he didn't want to cover it up, but pay the price for it. Because Job had such a good heart, he was thankful even when God had taken away all his possessions and children. As you find in the Bible, King David also had such an honest heart. After King David took Bathsheba, he involved an evil scheme to cover it up. He put Uriah in the front line of a battle and had him killed by the hands of the enemies. But as Prophet Nathan came and rebuked him for this and notified him that big trials would follow, how did David react? He gave no excuse, but only repented, saying, "I have sinned against the Lord." David didn't say like, "God, forgive me. Please provide me with the way of escape so I won't suffer trials and tribulations." As the retribution for his sins, David was chased by his son Absalom and insulted by one of his people named Shimei. He experienced such bitter contempt, trials, and tribulations. Yet, he didn't try to evade all these trials, but silently endured them with gratitude. Ultimately, through the trials, David was able to achieve a more perfect heart. Not only did he become all the greater as a king, but he also became a great one in heaven. As for many people, even after they commit an unrighteous act, they refuse to pay the price for it. They want to cover it up anyhow and try to avoid the retribution. This results from their deceitfulness and craftiness. If we can thoroughly repent of our wrongdoings and willingly endure the trials that follow, we are indeed acknowledging God. As we begin to detest even the forms of evil, we can quickly achieve sanctification. But if you try to cover up yourself with self-justification and excuses even after committing sins, you are not truly repenting. Thus, your sins cannot be forgiven. Same with when you are receiving advice. You seem to acknowledge yourself, but you don't admit yourself from the bottom of your heart, and you just give excuses about this and that, so you cannot truly repent. You are different from David. Also, even if you admit yourself, the level is different. Some people truly, from the bottom of their heart, admit their sins and evil, and then they are forgiven. Others, they admit their wrongdoings, but they don't take it seriously, so they cannot repent from their heart, so they fail to be forgiven. If you have to realize what kind of repenting you offer, let's say you receive some advice, what thoughts went through your mind? And did you humbly lay down yourself and say amen? Or did you try to evade the trials? Or did you joyfully endure the trials that come as a result? Also, if you repented from your heart, you wouldn't mourn but give thanks even for the retribution of a sin. Since you can be declared sinless by humbly enduring the retribution of sins and trials, how thankful you should be. In doing so, you can achieve a pure and sanctified heart of the Lord. Let's say you have some white clothes and you get some stain from some food. You can wash it. If you wash it quickly, it can be removed. But let's say you have black ink and after passing of a lot of time and you try to remove it, and it takes a great deal of effort. You have to use some detergent, you have to use some chemicals, or you have to wash it with water. But the cleaner your clothes is, the stain is gone, there are still traces. And David endured endured his trials joyfully. And through those trials, even such stains of, even such traces of evil are removed. Then you are declared totally sinless. How thankful you should be. You, if you acknowledge God this way, you only have reasons for thanksgiving. When you face some troubles, you may say, I repented thoroughly and I no longer commit such sins. But why do I go through such troubles? You have to look back on yourself like that. If, even if I don't commit great sins, as you pray, and then the Holy Spirit reminds you of the sins you committed, and David, even after he repented, he received trials through Absalom. He went through that trials after many years after he committed that sin. So you should not wonder, why am I going through that trials? You have to know that this is a retribution for your sins. And if you endured it joyfully, Father God would bless you and you would have such an awakening. Then as you act in goodness, Father God would bless you. Whatever trial you may face, you may have different kinds of trouble. You may also realize, you should also realize what kind of trial you are facing, and then Job had such honesty with which he believed that a person who has forsaken man's duties has to pay the price for it. But why was he displaying evil here? Job was actually praiseworthy. He was much better than ordinary people, but during the trials, he revealed such a great deal of evil. Even though Job kept the duties of man, as he faced the trials and tribulations that went beyond his limits, he couldn't comprehend his situation at all. I ask you to consider his situation, putting yourselves in his shoes. Following his conscience, Job led an honest life, not committing sins. Even when God had taken away all his possessions and children, he still gave thanks to God. He was such a person who kept himself. Though he had kept and guarded himself this way, at the end of this, as the end of his afflictions was not in sight, as his body was messed up and he was mocked, despised, and mistreated even more, Job ended up complaining and arguing against God. Even though Job had kept the duties of man well, he found his situation increasingly bleak. That's why he couldn't understand God who allowed the trials at all. But God was refining Job because he wanted Job to go further than just keeping the duties of man and achieve a spiritual heart of truth. But since Job hadn't figured out such spiritual truths, he could stay patient only until God had taken away his possessions and children, and he couldn't endure any more than that. But what about Abraham? God gave him a word that was totally incomprehensible and nonsense by man's thoughts. God commanded Abraham to offer Isaac, whom he received as a seed of the covenant at age 100, as a burnt offering. At this point, Abraham didn't argue against God, saying, "Oh God, that is such an outrageous command. Didn't you promise that I would have offspring as numerous as the stars in the heavens and the sand on the seashore? But now you are telling me to offer the seed of the covenant as a burnt offering?" Rather, he trusted a good God who makes sure to keep his promises and revives even the dead and joyfully obeyed. As Abraham obeyed God with such a perfect trust, God also established him as the father of faith and faithfully carried out the covenant of giving him numerous offsprings. As for Apostle Paul, ever since he met our Lord, his love for him never wavered. No matter the tribulations that he faced him, he praised God and entirely committed himself to the sharing the gospel until he was martyred. Even though he faced persecutions and tribulations, he loved God with all his life, but he didn't wonder why such troubles come to him. Paul didn't have such complaints. God wanted Job to achieve such a spiritual and truthful heart as well. You you have to recognize the difference of their faith. Job's trials, he went through trial when he was had quite good faith. But still, he needed a trial because even though he had strong faith, but compared to the forefathers of faith, like Apostle Paul, like David, and Daniel's three friends, compared to them, Job fell short a lot. Brothers and sisters, have you compared your heart to that of Job? We ought to learn from Job's goodness by which he worshipped God without losing gratitude, even as he lost all his children and possessions. But we shouldn't imitate his mindset by which he lost his patience and complained as the trials went beyond his limits. God wants us, His children, to stay joyful and thankful even amidst trials and tribulations and possess true faith by which they can genuinely trust God even amidst threats of death. Once we completely rid ourselves of crafty and changing attributes and achieve a truthful heart, we won't be afraid of even death. Under any circumstances, we can give thanks to God. Because Job was a vessel who was more than able to attain to such truthfulness, God had his evil removed by putting him through trials. Therefore, reflecting on ourselves with Job's case, we are to discover ourselves and achieve a truthful heart by which we can overcome any trials with joy and thanksgiving. Let me conclude a message, brothers and sisters. God doesn't give people hardships without a reason. As we analyze each of Job's remarks spiritually, we can find out why Job had to suffer trials. The reason that God complimented Job as blameless and upright was, while living in the Old Testament times, not in the era of the Holy Spirit, Job feared God and led a decent life where he had nothing to be blamed in terms of deeds. But God wants us to attain to the level where we are not just pure in terms of deeds, but have a heart of spirit which has no evil, deceitful, and changing attributes. He also wants us to have a heart of Holy Spirit filled with goodness and love. For Job to achieve such a heart, he had to go through the trials that went beyond his limits and discover and cast off even the evil in his nature. That's why God accepted Satan's accusation against Job. God is looking forward to seeing many of his children come forth as the fruits of Holy Spirit who resemble him. He also presented a ways in the Bible. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Therefore, I pray in the name of the Lord that, through the word and prayer, you'll be able to discover and cast off even the evil in your conscience and nature and achieve perfect faith and a sincere heart filled with truth and goodness, thereby bringing great joy to Father God.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. all mental diseases like epilepsy, autism depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis, go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.